Quick Little Podcast. It started. So we're live. We're recording.
All right. So what's going on? My name is Joel, or they call me Lappies. Bro.
My name's Elvis. EJ. But usually Elvis Jr., my middle name.
Yeah, we from Lynn, Massachusetts. And today we're going to speak on a couple topics. Mainly focusing our city. What it's like right now. And pretty much just involving our city. Right, bro? So, first question I got for bro right here is, how do you view Lynn right now as a collective, as a whole? Growing up here, you know what I mean? We've been here, you know what I mean, for years. Like, I came here when I was 10 years old. I moved from the Bronx, New York, and I moved into Lynn, and I've been here now. I'm gonna be 28 next month. So do the math. I've been here 18 years. And you?
Sure. I was born in Salem and I was raised in Lynn my whole life. So I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I'm 28 now.
You're born and bred here. So.
Yeah, 100%. I served out of the military here as well, so I have a different kind of relationship with it. Leaving and then coming back almost 10 years later, the way I view the city, back in the day, I didn't necessarily look at it in any type of way. I didn't even notice a lot of things because I was a bit too focused on, like, my own drama as a kid. I think we all are in our own point in time. But coming back after all the things that I done seen and learned and experienced, the city hasn't changed, and I don't say that in a good way. If it has changed...
It's gotten worse.
It's gotten way worse. A lot of things have happened as far as
do you feel like maybe it's just because we're out of the loop a little bit?
Most definitely.
That we feel like it's worse than when we were actually, like, you know what I mean? Like, as teens, you're more in the loop with the city because you're actually outside.
Because
think about it, Lynn, there ain't shit to do here, especially for the youth.
Because they don't have no businesses out here for people to invest in. You notice that? You go to Swampscott and you don't see a liquor store. You come back to Lynn and you catch corner stores everywhere you go. What do you normally see in cities that are a little cleaner than ours, you could say? You usually see things like Whole Foods or a big-ass chain or some shit. You see money that continues to flow in their areas, boutiques and little shits and little businesses. We got the same old shit.
Yeah.
We got businesses, but they're the same businesses.
Yeah, that pretty much haven't even contributed to the community.
To nothing.
No, you're right.
And we got the same chains. McDonald's, BK, Wendy's, and they don't give nothing back.
No,
so
it makes sense.
The city is rotten because nobody's putting no money into it. But people that we don't even see are buying up buildings in the city and rebuilding them shits, but they're not making them cheap for people with families.
No, indeed. It's like the richer just getting richer, and like we're just, you feel me, like the people that actually have been here for so long, bro, is like we're getting poorer and we're killing each other, bro.
We're not catching a break.
We're not giving ourselves a break, bro.
Because we're not thinking.
So like I completely agree with what you had to say on that question. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't have said it to anybody. You know what I mean? So. I completely agree with you on that. Now, to conclude that, how I view the city, similar to you, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, damn, bro, like here, like, we're trapped, and it's us. You know what I mean? Like, the urban community. Like, you know what I mean? Never mind what all these new investors got going on right now. You know what I mean? Because obviously that has the city in turmoil, too, because if you think about it, that's gonna cause more crime and shit like that. People are gonna wanna sell more drugs. People are gonna go to the extremes now to get money. Why? Because rent is going up everywhere. You feel me? Like
on the valley,
one job, you can't have one full time job and live on your own.
Nope.
Unless you're getting paid fucking
Brooklyn.
At least $1,000 a week. You know what I mean? Where you can say you'll live comfortable. You know what I mean? Where you'll have your apartment, all your bills paid for, your car paid for, everything, you know what I mean, your food at your crib, and you'll probably have some type of change left over. You know what I mean?
And that's like in a perfect world, which don't exist these days.
So now you think, you feel me, you add that in, bro, with you feel me, with the youth, bro, now they're going to extremes, you feel me, why, because it's even harder to get jobs now, most of these places, bro, you feel me, are starting to ask for these kids to have diploma GEDs, you feel me, and most of these kids, bro, because you feel me? The shit that's going on the streets, bro, is with these kids that still haven't even gotten out of high school, number one. You feel me?
They got nobody to look up to.
They got nobody to look up to. They got no outlets, nothing, bro. Like, and then you expect for the city not to be going crazy, you feel me?
They got the current people in the city fucking
but
it up.
But then that tells you, bro, our communities are lacking unity. You feel me? Look, community. You feel me? Unity. We're missing unity within our communities. You feel me?
We're missing people to deliver messages like that for people to want to hear.
Well,
we got enough preachers and we got enough politicians and enough people in suits to say something, but not enough people that look like regular folk like we do.
So now, with that comes the second question. What are you willing to do, or, you know what I mean, like, what would you invest, you know what I mean, into your city, into your community, you feel me, to somehow try to control, you feel me, at least not, we can't completely control it, because it's just obviously you and I, you know what I mean, speaking, and obviously we can get other people to get together, you know what I mean? But what will you deliver on your behalf, you know what I mean, to try and positively, like
give back.
Yeah. In a positive way.
I look up to a man that gave literally his life to the streets, and his pathway and his blueprint and how he did things are very admirable to me in particular, and they were for a long time. Enough so that I started to develop my own ideas and my own inspired plans to do similar works in the hopes to inspire others to do the same and inspire the next generation. My intent for this city coming
May
back
I
to
ask it, though, who that person is?
Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle, okay.
My intent is to, at some point, have enough money, gather enough money to buy up a block so that I can rebuild and renovate or reconstruct whatever that building or that headquarters is going to look like to create a hub, in a sense. It's going to be a place where any and every local artist in the city, from rappers to poets to artists, painters, spoken words, individuals, to come and network and to come and bring all of their works and all of their talents
now,
to showcase.
Do you look to do this out of your pocket, or like
100%.
You want to do it out of your pocket?
100%. 100% out of my pockets and out of the pockets of whomever else sees this vision as clear as I do.
Okay. That's dope.
That's one. One plan. Another long-term plan that I'm working on is investing. investing in businesses that bring quality and bring value to communities, things that people can get their hands into. I figured if a low-key kid like me from the city can get his hands on a conglomerate or get some stock in a franchise, I could bring some of that business over to my city and recreate or maybe instill a little more value in a place that has none. Where Swampscott has its Whole Foods, our city out here could have something like a, I'll give you an example, like a
like
vegan,
a wellness,
a vegan fine foods.
Okay.
But it's not just for vegans, it's for everybody and anybody and everybody that just want, that likes food. But it's clean, wholesome food that you know where it's coming from and you know where it has.
You know what's so dope? That, yo, shout out to the 5%ers from Lynn. The 5%ers, they over here in Lynn, over at Cook Street Park, they had their own garden.
Facts.
They grow their own garden, grow their own stuff.
Agriculture
so,
is
like,
important.
You know what I mean? To interject with what you said about, like, you know what I mean, to know where the food's coming from,
mm-hmm,
and all that stuff. I think that was a dope idea. Like, imagine if we could get our own factory type shit. You know what I mean? And literally be able to grow our vegetation all year round.
How much more attention do you think a person would take into their food when they see, or if they see, that it's coming from their hands versus just the supermarket? It'd be a little more attentive. There'd be a little more status.
That's all in character, though. You
exactly
know what I mean?
What,
because if
which is what we need to instill.
If you see how we're developing, you feel me, that state of mind,
mm-hmm,
of like, yo, we should watch what we eat. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, all that works into play. You know what I mean? Because if we're gonna promote wellness, you know what I mean, within our communities, as far as safety, you know what I mean, why not in health as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And in wealth as well, financial literacy. That's something that's not very, I feel like it's not something that's very talked about within the younger community. You know what I mean?
What's it called? Mind, body, spirit?
Mind, body, and soul.
Mind, body,
yeah,
and soul.
Yeah.
Trifecta mind, lifestyle. It's the same system I always followed already.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, that's the business right there. You feel me? So, like, now, you feel me? So, to conclude this right here, or should I say to add on, you feel me, on how I'm looking at things, you know what I mean, as far as how I can input my positive energy into the community is, I'm looking forward to doing some open mic events, because I see that in Lynn there's a lot of talent, you know what I mean, with a lot of these young cats nowadays, you know what I mean. I'm always looking at the music scene. I love music, you know what I mean? I do music myself, you know what I mean? And I'm looking forward to working with a lot of these younger cats too. So definitely, I feel like this is a common ground where maybe we can meet with these younger dudes, you know what I mean? And do something that they like to do and that I like to do as well, you know what I mean? And create, you know what I mean? Create something positive, you know what I mean? At least we could touch, you know what I mean, touch on common grounds through music, you know what I mean, and then from there build on. And then I feel like I could use that platform, reach out, like I could relate with these youngins, you know what I mean, and then figure out how I'm hoping maybe to find a way to get funded if possible. But even if I can't, you know what I mean? Like, we'll pull together somehow. I'm going to get a couple guys on board, and we're going to pull together and see how we do more events. But not only with just music, but art as well. Maybe DJing, breakdancing, all types, just hip-hop in general. You know what I mean? Cause I love the culture.
Everything in the arts.
Yeah, just any type of way that you can express yourself, whether through instruments.
And you feel really strong.
You know what
about
I mean?
That.
Of course, bro. I love music. I love music. It's an escape for me, and it's something that for any and every emotion, you could find a song that's going to enhance that or make you, yeah, you could communicate with. Like, this is something that I learned through my homeboy the other day, how people communicate with music subconsciously sometimes. You could be feeling something and you could just play a song and you could be wanting to say that. You know what I mean? Saying like whatever the topic of the song is, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking about trap music, or I'm talking about actual music. You know what I mean? Music with substance and lyrics, you know what I mean? That you'll be wanting to convey that message and not know how to say it yourself, you know what I mean? But you could play this song and feel like you got it off your chest type. You know what I mean? So, like,
to finish you off, make it a perfect ending, you too. Bring it all the way back around. Do you remember or can you recall a or the first song that made you feel everything you just described about music? Where it all started for you? Whether if it was in the city, out of the city, and why it had to do with this city.
For rap music?
Just for music, period. Just for you. And this is taking it back to where you gotta dig deep now.
Like,
if you could think of a song or just a moment in time where
I can't really like pinpoint, because music has been
moved
a
you.
Part of my life.
Where did that start? That right there. Where can you recall that started?
I just can't even recall it. Like, my house was always filled with music all the time.
What can you first remember here?
Spanish music. Boom. Obviously, because I'm Dominican. I'm 100% Dominican. You know what I mean? And my house, you know what I mean?
What'd the music make you feel like? What does it bring up? What do you smell? What do you see? What do you hear? What do you think? What do you expect when you walk into that house and you hear that music?
At that point, that's you know what I mean? That's more or less about my life.
Right.
At that point, you know what I mean?
That's how deep music goes, right?
Yeah, definitely, bro.
Because once you figure that out and you notice that, you hone in on a moment like that, it comes back around to where you currently are and the purpose that you're living. You're taking this music and you're moving it forward and you're trying to move the needle and you're trying to be a big bro. That comes from somewhere.
Man, it's just a form of connection, bro. Like you feel me? To bring it back, it's a form of connection. It's just connect. You feel me? A connection. You know that you can connect with music. You connect with people. You feel me? I'm just trying to build that platform and that network for these youngins. You know what I mean? And for myself as well, because, like I said, I love music. I'll work with just about anybody, bro. You bring a beat, some lyrics, bro, and I'm going to get on it. Because I love music like that. You feel me? I'm a humble dude. You feel me? And, that's just how it goes. So, like, I want to start off with that. You know what I mean? Maybe some open mics, some art gallery shows. I got my homies from the 5%ers again. Shout out to my bro Al Davino and ST Mac. Them guys right there, real positive dudes, you know what I mean? Doing their thing with the music for sure. And my brother Al Davino, he an artist as well. Bro, does some crazy abstract paintings and, bro, real dope. He sells his artwork and everything. Like, not no...
He's a real deal.
Real deal. You know what I mean? Where, you know what I mean? I want to bring this cat out because he wants to display his art, you know what I mean? And connect with people through his art, you know what I mean? And you never know. He likes students, you know what I mean? He could teach you how he does his thing, you know what I mean? How he makes money, you know what I mean? And we could build through that, you know what I mean? Like networking, that's what it is, you feel me? Just to bring one up, you know what I mean? And these are going to be, like, disclosed, like, private parties type things, you know what I mean? Like private events, we're going to call them functions, you know what I mean? Because we're going to be displaying a number of things, you know what I mean? Because it's for the community, but...
It starts internally.
Yeah, we got to build us.
Before we can build everybody else.
Yeah, but it's going to involve the community, though, you know what I mean? It's just going to involve people that really want to be involved in the community. The leaders, the ones that are going to set the stone, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then let everyone reap the benefits.
Facts.
Because it just got to start somewhere.
So with that said, this has been our first podcast. We'll call it the pilot episode. My name's Elvis, native kid from Lynn, trying to do something better, trying to create something better, trying to build a better opportunity for people after me. Joined here tonight by my homie.
You already know, Lappies. You already from Lynn, Massachusetts, Sun City. Yeah, you already know, man. Hopefully we get to do this again. I think this was dope. I felt like it was a good pilot episode. What'd you think?
All love and good vibes.
Indeed.
A lot of jewels in there too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, listen up because we got something to say, you know what I mean? But regardless, we gon' talk because the truth is to be told and the game is to be sold, you feel me? So we checking out.
I feel mad. I don't know.
No, we're good. Everything you're saying, keep going. I was just putting this up.
I don't know, I feel like it was meant to happen, and from here, like, okay. This is our, third meetup. I feel like, okay, from here. The first time we both, clicked, and I felt like, okay, word. From here, what can I gain from it? And I applied pressure. That was it. All right, now, do my research, find my vendors, and have... tangible product. That was my goal after our first conversation. Our second conversation, it was more on the lines of like, okay, networking. Reached out back to Fats was a great networking person. He helped me with my name.
Big time Fats.
Like, I got the monitor from him, like the Apple monitor from him. I just need to get the keyboard and the mouse. And I was like, thanks. He was like, I want to see people win, especially people that, like, from the hood, people I know. He was like, you're a smart, young woman. You could do it. And I was like, okay. That's, like, the third person that told me. Why am I bullshitting around now? Mm-hmm. Then he happened to hit me up, and I was like, why not? It's perfect timing.
It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Stop being scared. Stop saying no. Stop making excuses. This is what I've realized.
Boom. And that wraps around the topic of, which is what tonight's conversation is about, is fate and how we feel on that subject. We were just discussing that it's funny how the go-throughs that we were going through led up to this point in particular for us specifically to meet, like, at this time. Mm-hmm. And from my side of it comes off as like, or at least my impression, the way that I take it all, we're all on the same time schedule. Time moves the same exact way and the same exact pace for everybody else as well. It's just a matter of where people are mentally and what they're going through.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got something that they're dealing with, no matter how they're presenting themselves. But not all are willing enough like you have been and hungry enough to want more. A lot of people are content.
Yeah, no. I'm done being stagnant and staring, so, like, I want more. I feel like, okay, I've leveled up. I've plateaued. That's the best way I could put it. I've plateaued here.
Yeah.
I'm not, and that's when I start to apply pressure. It's like, okay, I'm not comfortable. And I realize that, like, I don't like feeling the same. I don't like doing the same shit day to day. It drives me absolutely insane.
That uncomfort, does that drive you?
Yeah. It's a reason for me to change. Working for somebody, I had to quit. And look as to how far I have different formulas for different aspects of my line. I actually have a vendor who's shipping out my product for my samples with the boxes and everything. Like, that's amazing. I just had to quit. I wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do what makes me happy. I don't know what drives me.
How'd you find the bravery, or how'd you find the time or the mental space to be able to go ahead and finally do that? Because you know that's still going to be an unknown that same day you quit.
Absolutely. How are you going to... That unknown was, I'm a mom. I need to find a way to bring some type of source in. I already knew I had taxes coming, and it was okay. This was, you've already formulated a plan. Like, this is what you want to do. You've looked into making your own skincare line. Why not just do it at home? Mm-hmm. Why not start here to see if it's actually going to take off? Collect your feedback. It's my own research and development part of it. I don't have to pay another team to do it. I don't have to outsource. That's the best part about it.
And what really interests me about your process is that this is something you're passionate about.
I love makeup.
You're not just gonna be bored of your process at some Mm-mm. point, like a lot of people get, and it creates that stagnation.
And that's why I said, because it makes me happy. Mm. I will sit here and do the research happily for hours. I stay up to like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning doing this shit all the time.
But
because it's something I'm passionate about, it makes me happy.
It'll
drive and like you said, if you're not passionate about it, what the fuck is the point?
You're not going to put in the full effort.
Absolutely. Working for somebody else, staring at a transportation company, having somebody tell me what time to wake up, what time I get to go to sleep, how to live my life, how long I have for breaks to eat, to come home, to spend time with my kid. It's not what I want to do. Mm. I need to make my own shit. I need to figure it out on my own. And that's where I'm at now, is meeting other like-minded people who are passionate and who actually are like, all right, like I said, with me, it's either you win or you lose. There's no in between.
And that's
you add my
point.
Gray. I like that. You add a different aspect of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Too many like-minded people, you're bound to fail. There's no ifs or buts about it. The logistics, the proof, the statistics are all there. If you all think the same, it's one brain. You're not adding other people's input. You're not adding a different aspect of thinking to it. But with people being one to sell shit, you have to adapt, because the market that you're catering to is ever changing. And if you're not willing to change and adapt, you're gonna fail. And you're starting off to fail. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it.
Facts. Two things to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
What the day-to-day looks like in starting. And actually getting started, taking that first initial action, because just like getting started at the gym, the hardest thing isn't to do a workout or figure out what to do first. The hardest thing is to get up and do that first, get to that first
have
time.
That push that drive.
Start that first time.
Like,
then the next challenge, which is my second point, is the after effect of it all.
After that first day when your body's tired, is finding the motivation to go back again.
Again and again.
And that's why I was like, you know what? Yeah, I had a membership before. I shitted it off. I wasn't ready. I didn't want to. Now I'm like, okay, I want to. Like, I want to go to the gym. And I realized how helpful to my thinking process, my creative aspect of being able to sit there, throw on my headphones, and just zone the entire world out and focus on me, my body, my mind, like your everything said. It's just the 3-in-1.
It creates that anchor for you to really be able to ground yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then being able to bounce my ideas off of other people and being able to have that feedback is super helpful to this whole process.
Mm-hmm. You're falling in love with the process, like Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's the process that's going to get us to where we need to get to. You're really great at the technical side of that, and that's why you have to have that that black and white mentality of it all.
I like it.
At the end of the day, business doesn't have emotions and doesn't have feelings. If you're built for the market, you will be, and if you're not, you're not.
The market side, like, I can see, like...
The market being the system, the ever-evolving, ever-changing machine that we all go to put out our ideas.
For me, it's like a movie plot. We've seen them 1,000 times. We can predict them. Mm. These are the people we're catering to. At one point in time or another, think about a child. Children go through phases. And this is what helped me, being a mom helped me absolutely hone this shit in. Yeah. Like, being there 24/7 really helped a lot. Like, I get to see her phases. Like, she went through being obsessed with, like, the Barney, the Sesame Street phase. Then, like, the Paw Patrol phase. And now she's into, like, the big girl, like, cartoons. And, like, okay, now, like, the plot lines have thickened. Mm. She's into the more intricate, like, she wants to figure out, okay, why is this person like this person? Like, this person's mean. Why? Why are they the way they are? She wants their backstories. And I love that because that makes me sit here and wonder, like, she's 8. I never thought about that when I sit and watch a cartoon. Why is that character the way they are?
She has a level of self-awareness that we didn't have at that age. Mm-hmm. And she's curious to act on it. Mm-hmm. Where we're at the age that we are now doing what we're doing. And that's why it's taken such a longer time. Because we decided to focus on the numbing aspect of life rather than the construct. Mm-hmm. Or the process of getting to where we want to go to from A to B.
It's the unadulterated, like, the unfiltered childlike imagination, and I love it. Like, why can't you make a car that flies? What happens to those days where we used to draw those cars? Remember those pictures in elementary school?
That fearlessness.
Like, the flying cars, and, like, I'm going to make one. Why did we ever stop doing that? Why did we stop ourselves?
Because life. And unfortunately,
we've gotten knocked down so many times.
We decided to agree to life's terms as far as how it's been enacted or how it's reacted.
We became a cog in the system, and that was it.
And we became conditioned to everything that was already in place. Mm-hmm. So we allowed for things to really supposedly be as it was. And we accepted that for ourselves for a second.
Going to school gentrified our beautiful, creative-ass minds as kids because, like I said, I loved painting. I loved writing out poems. I still have, like, a lot of my poems and stuff.
Good.
And, like, when I started, like, rapping for the little bit that I did rap, like, I loved it. I loved my freestyles. I loved it. And, like, now someone throws on a beat and I'm like, how the fuck did I do this? Like, wait. So, that's why I had to get back to my roots, like, and I love this, like, it's definitely, like, a baby midlife crisis because I'm about to hit 30. This is, like, a big step in my life, and that's the best way I can look at it. But why look at it, be miserable, sad, cry, when?
And that's part of the process.
Take it and hone it. I'm still friends with a lot of the people when I was creative as fuck. Why not be able to insert myself back into my circles and figure out, okay, how the fuck did I lose myself? Ask, get my feedback. When did I lose myself? And I've slowly been getting back to me, and it's productive. When you're happy, that's it. Like that's the only thing I can really think of is when you're happy, you're going to find a way to make it work. It's what you want.
You now have a different perspective that you can apply as well. Mm-hmm. Having experienced a little bit that you did with the tasting around and the trying and the, you know, honing some skills.
I'm going to go back and tweak everything. I still have, that's why this was the first batch and I said that.
Honing the skills that you no longer have about, you know, your raps or your poetries and whatever the case is. You no longer need to really chase after building that up again if you don't choose to. And if you want to, you can. But what you do have to take away from it is you now know what you need to be able to grow that more in others who you know have the same issue. Create the space like you felt tonight where it's safe and it's not judgmental for that to be a process to be birthed even further or for that to grow into the next level.
I feel like a lot of our youth don't even have that type of, and I feel like they need that type of space where it's literally just judgment free.
That's what the open mics that I helped to create were supposed to be about. And still
are. I wish they were about that. Like, and when, like, I wish I would, like, find more. Not even just, like, the open mic, like, even paint nights. They don't do that out here. Like,
that was supposed to be added in.
Aspects. Like, that would be wonderful to help touch, like, because it makes me sad. My daughter loves her art program, her music, and they're cutting that shit back.
The reason it's
because
called,
there's no funding.
The reason it was called Dope Vibes Ascend was because we're creating a space where people can have a vibe or people can create a vibe.
Okay.
Shit is obviously dope.
Okay.
It's also creating the space to network and grow and elevate. So they're ascending. What? This?
Yeah.
It's all right. But that's the whole purpose, and that was the whole concept. To carry that into every space that we go to, it's natural that people were going to be curious and want to know and want to grow more. That's the whole purpose. But for them to grow more and to take it out into the world and attract more people to come through or to create their own, we have to be okay with letting that happen. Because you can't stop anybody else from creating their own ideas based off of or biting based off of what we create or what we put out there first, because that's what we're trying to do anyways, make opportunities. So if that's what ends up growing as a result, that's, we have to let that go as what it is and be confident in continuing to move into the next thing, because we're ever changing, just like the trends and the overall machine that agrees on what is popular that day. If we're going to succeed on that plane,
literally, that's what it is.
We got to think on that plane. Icon level is never just one thing. Diddy isn't just known for Biggie.
It's an empire. It's being able to branch off of, like, the one, getting the recognition off the one, but you don't want to be a one-trick pony.
Jay-Z isn't just known for the rock. You need to have
more ideas. He has clubs. He has a billion businesses.
Beyonce is not just known for being Jay-Z's husband. That's barely even anything you think of.
Sure, like, they're both separate. Like, even their musics are so, like, wild. Like, they're so different styles. But when it comes together, it fits.
Facts.
Because they're both passionate about what they do. They have their own views, their own aspects, their own everything they're bringing to the table. They just run the perfect way to, yeah.
Think about that. They become a triple threat in that sense. He builds his own, she does hers, and then when they come together, it still synchronizes, and it's not a problem, and it's even hotter. What?
Why not profit off of it? That's the smartest thing to do.
That's a three-way franchise in between two. And that's what we can get to with open minds. With open enough minds.
Creative enough between the two, like, why not?
And the market at the end of the day, what I was saying earlier, isn't biased. It doesn't care if we're black or brown or not. It just cares for results, and that's why you're so perfect in your mindset about it. You either win or you lose. Me, yeah, no. I'm the gray side because I attach to the emotional side of things.
You're the marketable part of it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's, you're the relatable, you're the reachable, the tangible, like, hey, this is a spokesperson, this is, like, he's passionate about it, it's what he wants, he can speak about it, he's very articulate, he's very educated, he's very charismatic, like, you know.
Here's what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
Follow these steps, apply them in your own way, and you can get to where you want to, too.
And that's where this comes into play, where you can, like, branch off of our tangible, like, products we sell and everything else, like, hey, here, because eventually people are going to want to know, like, hey, how did you get here? How? And from there, you can be like, hey, here's how. And even the mini speaking gigs, you wanted a way to get in. And that's why I looked at you and was like, don't do that. You were asking me earlier, like, okay, how do I get my foot in the door about speaking businesses? And she offered you some, and you were like, no. And I was like, ah. You
like shot it.
I know you didn't, but I was like, you got to think. How much experience do you really, like, can you say, like, hey, in this particular field, how much do you have to, like, really, like, on paper, on resume, can you offer, like, all right, this is why I feel like I should be paid the amount that I said I should. Write it out, explain it to her, meet with her on a separate tip, not on some, like...
Yeah, I've given her that plenty of times in the past. We've sat down and my story is worth exactly my nose. Like, That's how concrete, like, you have been over your years with your stuff. That's how I've been as well. This has been 10 plus years in the making for me, and I'm not just, like, randomly deciding to do it now.
See? It's hard.
I've been building and sacrificing and working.
You know the number right now, but you have to play into effect. Look at the economy. Look at the city we live in.
Right.
That is something that's always like, oh, you're going to have to come down.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to come down in that number. You're going to have to compromise.
But what sets us apart and what's going to immediately have us going up in the price range anyway is what we're going to be offering.
Yeah.
Because we're not just looking to make a buck and leave. We're from here.
We want to help.
We're
going to
give it back.
I want to help.
So the more we get, it's not for our success. It's so that we have access to give more, ultimately.
Well, that's a raccoon.
Where?
It ran this way, like crossed that street. Yeah, beautiful. I don't do wild animals.
Which is why I'm so dead set on a price starting out. And it's not expensive, especially for the speaking world, according to the pros who I learned from. Not even close, but that's neither here nor there.
See, I don't know that type of world. And that's what I was like, do you really want it? For right now, do you want that dead set price? Or would you like being able to get your name out there and have the notoriety for the networking?
I'll explain that. I didn't come up with the confidence by myself and just say, I'm hot like that. No.
No, I see it. I've read it. I read your...
Yeah. I read the courses I still go through. My mentors who are doing this, like...
I understand your set price.
Do you know who Eric Thomas is?
The one you showed me earlier, right?
Yeah, ET the Hip Hop Preacher, his people. I'm in contact with them, and they train me and guide me and give me game. So I've always just tried to follow that, the blueprint to success, who's done it. And the set price range thing came about as a result of that.
I respect it, but you have to be able to tweak it on your own.
Yes, that's what I'm open to doing anyways, because that's where we got to go.
A few at that price, and then after a few, be like, okay, listen.
If
you can draw more names and more people, like, hey, I'm willing to come back. I'm willing to tell my friends about that. Now you can be like, listen, now I've increased the amount of people who are willing to come to buy your tickets to come in. And now I feel like I need to be paid more. Upped your name. I've upped your notoriety. So I feel like I deserve to be paid more. I know my value.
It gives you more insight on where my mind is at, as to why I made the price range what it was, rather than just, oh, damn, this nigga just thinks he's hot. No, it was all meant to be strategic, but it's always open for discussion. Always, because...
It's an ever-changing market. Right,
I don't know everything, and I never will pretend to know everything.
It's like, how can you go to, in my mind... It's how can you go to school, to college, and sit there in a classroom and have somebody tell me, like, this is how to become a public speaker. No, I feel like the best way to do it is where you're going.
I'm an expert in my field because of my experiences.
Yes. I'd rather the experience over the degrees.
But if you're not confident in your experiences, obviously your price is always going to be low than what you think you need to get it at. Mm-hmm. I don't need to keep my price low to worry about what people can afford. I need to worry about what people are willing to pay to get the knowledge that I have to offer.
True.
And if I bring that down starting out, that's going to tell other people who can afford me, oh, I can just bring him down and buy him for cheap.
Yeah, but I feel like if we bring it down just a little bit, we don't give him the absolute full. Cliff Notes, everything. Like, don't give her a full.
We can definitely do that instead.
It's a 40 minute. It's a 40. I feel like we're paying... Alright, this is what, okay,
if we're bringing the price down, I understand where you're coming from. We can just give a certain...
I didn't vocalize this one. In my mind, I was like, okay, if she said 150, yeah, give 150. I'm sorry, I'm only giving what is worth.
Right.
Like, what you're paying.
Right.
I didn't mean for you to give her, like, this whole... Absolutely the fuck not.
Bet, okay.
Never. Remember when I said, don't sell yourself short. But...
Exactly.
You need the exposure, the notoriety. We need to get out there. So, for that speaking aspect,
I like give her... Cliff Notes.
One... Yeah, that's what I was like, no, we don't give full, no.
We're going to cliff notes this
shit. Chop it. Give her bits and pieces, but we cannot give you the absolute keys. That's why you haven't paid the full price.
Mm.
This is like, I'm sorry, it's like a teaser with like gyms. Oh, 25 cents down, but after, we're going to jack it up to $20 a month.
And that's why I feel my $1,600 price is what it is.
Draw them in first. This is, I feel like... That's what I was trying to get across, like, this lower price, like, okay, boom. Yeah, you know a lot of the people, but being able to actually have their full, undivided attention for this platform, catch it. Catch it for the price that you can. And being able to only give them, like, teasers, like a trailer for, like, a movie, makes you invested. Makes you want to, like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I definitely want to know more. Don't give the whole everything. No, not for that price. Absolutely the fuck not. Why would you?
We can sit down and I can sit down, put down on paper an intro, a middle body, and a conclusion.
So, you know, to
keeps it short and sweet.
To be, she said, like, about, like, 40 minutes or so. So compose a 40-minute speech.
the 40-minute speech, that's the thing. It doesn't, you don't need to write down 40 minutes worth of a speech.
No, you're gonna bore need to people. Have your ideas.
You just need to have, yeah, it, your ideas organized.
Bullets.
Stretched out can, long enough that it'll reach that time.
Okay, like I said, like for the...
That's why your organization is so key. Yes,
everything you had, I was like, you know, you don't want to have long-ass bullets.
No.
Key to the point where you can, like I said, for like the numbered points... Of everything you have written down.
I'm thinking 10 to 12 slides at most.
Yeah, and being able to have open forum, that's a lot of... Mm-hmm. For something like, for that price range, open up to a lot of... Make it an open discussion, open forum, because that, you can kill a shit ton of time.
We can add that into a package or add that over time. But starting out, because we're speaking like we have a demographic already or a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
To build that up, like you're saying, we still got to just try out the trials and see how it goes.
Go through different... We need to honestly sit here and draw up, like, different plans for, like, different price ranges. Like, okay, this is, like, this type of price range package. Up it up. What else do you want to offer in the next one? Ooh. What do you feel like should be offered in this one?
Through my trials and so far, like, the back and forth engagements I've had with people, even you.
Mm-hmm.
Just speaking about my experiences and giving that much insight, those who do pay attention get jewels out of that and like, oh shit, this is something I can apply into my life.
Keep it.
So that's why I'm not so hell-bent on creating a perfect speech or a perfect get-up, because at the end of the day, it's going to be about the the intention and
it's your story. And that's what I said, like, you know your story. That's what I was like, okay, shorten your bullets. That's the point I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, these kind of type of conversations we have, because, I mean, you can, like, we can get it, we can sell our, like, our examples, everything we have, but...
To shorten the bullets, we have to
know... To get to a mass demographic...
What points we're making.
Yeah, you have to figure out which ones are the most important to you.
And I have a set of stories that get into certain stories, and the reason that they're those stories is because those were experiences in that time that I learned this particular lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I can shorten the story down and condense it even quicker to get to the jewel and have the jewel already projected on up and up on display for people to be able to either just read or write down or whatever the case.
On the website?
No. Yeah, in the seminar you have your...
'Cause I want you to know, like, I have the notebooks. Everything that's on those papers is not to be there. It's going to be a complete collab, if you don't mind. I'm going to throw my two creative sense into it.
What I'm thinking about having on projector screens for people to see and for me to be able to build off of to continue my speech are just like maybe simple words, action words or trigger words that pertain to exactly what phrases. We're talking about. Exactly.
Catchy
that
phrases. You
keep
know
me
mean?
On track with the subject,
so, like,
I'm talking about.
When you start to get a little bit off track, you can always just turn around and be like, okay, bam. Oh, yeah, let me get back on track. Let me get back to where I was.
Exactly.
Let's head this back and right on track. Let's go,
exactly.
Guys. Like, as a speaker, that's a very important thing because
and we can have fun
you love
with that.
To talk.
Because
you
we
will segue into other shit. You will get lost.
We can create... phrases or catchphrases,
mm-hmm.
or like
slogans
or
that's
some shit
word.
That's like really yeah shit that's like
see,
really
bouncing
deep
off
in
each other from the word we were looking for shit, mm-hmm. like this is the type of brainstorming I love,
because ET has when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful, and that shit's powerful in so many ways, but it's not his directly, it was from someone else, but he took it,
changed up a few words and made it his own,
and made
it
his thing. So having things like that naturally come. My bad. You cold as hell.
This jacket is thin as fuck. And I have on a crop top that is see-through. So it has no sleeves. It is
I'm
see-through.
So sorry. Yo.
You don't be sorry. My head is right there. I keep forgetting it's that cold. I get excited. And I'm like, where my adrenaline's head's going? Then I'm cold.
Shortening my points, that's not a problem. I
for,
when I'm
for
in that
those
zone,
type of like,
I can easily do that.
We have to figure that out. Builds up on like, okay, what do you want to be able to sell for that price range? Because we're not giving her everything. Can't show her that notebook at all, which is why I didn't even bring up none of your points.
We can set up three packages.
You know,
and split the prices that way. The 1660, we can split that down three times.
It's like platinum.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just really the base price.
Okay.
You want to stop this recording now?
Oh, recording? I didn't know you were recording.
Yeah, this was our pilot.
I love it. I didn't even know you were recording.
Yeah, this has been us building this whole time.
Respect it. Go ahead.
And so now that we're aware of what's going on, this is kind of like the fourth wall breaking. We're going to stop this clip and see how it went. See ya.
Mm-hmm. Hear what she has to say. I don't.
Uh-huh.
And she was just like, but how did you get like that? I was like, I learned. I lost my peace. But right now, I found it, and I'm going to protect it by any means necessary. So I feel like if you're a negative, you got to go. I don't care who you are. You got to go.
And negativity comes in all shapes and sizes. It's not like we're pointing at just one thing in particular.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a certain path, and it's not...
I tried to explain to her, like, if I get a negative vibe off of you, I'm not going to speak to you. I'm just going to... No.
Shit's not conducive to the growth that we're trying to be on.
Mm-mm.
So that's a battle that I see doesn't seem to leave day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
It's a part of being human.
It's like not being a part of the argument, I found in a way, like, it doesn't help me grow in a way. Like the way I want, so when I do find people to like debate or speak with or share with, I feel rusty sometimes because I don't do it as frequently as I'd like.
Mm-mm.
No, you're not the same.
Mm-mm.
You just you at the ready at all times.
I like to argue. It's the thing.
But
it's fun.
Mm.
You learn a few things. You learn about people a lot in the way that they argue.
That's a fact. You definitely get to know what people be thinking, how they're built.
Because you have the sensitive people, you have people who just repeat facts that they've heard without being able to further explain. Then you have the idiots who just want to shout over you and not give you a chance to speak back. Those I don't engage in.
Those, I find less and less of those now. And it's more or less because it's not that it's easy to spot. It's just like, yeah, you said it best. It's just a waste of fucking time. Mm-hmm. This shit just doesn't, and you could sense it right off the rip.
Mm-hmm.
People like that, what I tend to do anymore is really try to understand why they feel they need to validate their point so hard.
Mm.
Why people feel like they need to come out of character.
I feel like depending on the point would be depending on if I need to listen.
You would think if you... Side.
I said I don't really like to listen. Depending on, like, you gotta think, people argue every day about stupid things. Sometimes they have valid arguments. Sometimes you just be like, mm-mm.
You would think if people were so not... I'm not trying to use the word woke no more. You'd think if people were more informed, they wouldn't be so quick to try to get their point across. They'd be more observative.
More eager to listen, to learn the mm-hmm. other side, to learn the other part of the facts that they just blatantly ignore.
Very well said.
Those, Trumpers. I'm still stuck on that, like...
You think it's every Trumper? You think
no,
it's just,
no.
I don't think it is.
I think it's those hardcore radical ones, the ones that are like, okay, they take what he says to...
The fucking max.
Yeah, so like there's no in between. There's no gray area in what he says.
Nah,
it's okay, he said this, we're gonna have to just focus on that solely.
It's 0 to 1,000 for them real quick.
But as a person in such power, it's why you have to be careful as to what you say, what you post, what you do on a day to day. He just doesn't give a fuck.
On power.
Like,
do you
power? What, like the show?
No, not the show.
Oh,
what's
like,
your what would you say, what's your take on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to power, do you believe the more you acquire, the more responsibility you, in a sense, inherit or take on?
Mm-hmm.
Based on whatever whatever lane you're in as far as your power and influence goes? Or do you feel like it's an opportunity to get out from the struggle that you were, or where you started from? I see a lot of people successfully build themselves up and never really come back to their communities.
It's a bit of both, though.
Yeah, I explain that.
A bit of both. You have to think you have more responsibility, which will pull you away from stuff that you want to do. There's like, especially like if you're gonna look at it like, for example, like political world. Say you want to go to become like a state representative. now you're going to be constantly pulled away from your specific city that you probably had 1,001 plans to get going, because you got to think you're thrown into something that's already an ongoing wheel. So you have to just jump in and hop in, and then hopefully you have a glimpse or a chance to like throw your ideas in, like, hey, can we just go fix these certain small towns type situation? It's harder.
How much do you think?
Do they actually try?
That, and how much do you think corruption has to do with
A lot.
Corruption with success.
A lot. It's corruption, the nepotism, there's a thousand things that like contribute to all those factors. Politics is messy.
What's the word for that? Lust. Not lust. greed? Not greed. There's a word for it.
I wish I would know what you're trying to define.
Not corruption. It's like influence. But not negative or positive. It's
a neutral.
A neutral, I think.
Unbiased.
Like,
kind of. I don't know.
Shit. It's I think it might be greed. I think I had said it. I think it is greed. Mm-hmm. No, not it can't be greed. No.
Well, do you want to finish your thoughts so I maybe can help fill it in?
What is it? It's like you start with nothing, but then when you get success, it's like it changes you.
Yeah, corruption.
Corruption.
Yeah.
Okay, corruption. We'll go with that one.
Yeah, I think that's word. Yeah, that's what best kind of
describes that mold.
Yeah. That's what I was like, finish your thought and then I can help you. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that something that's already embedded in you as a person, or you think that's something that
you gain
as a result?
No one's ever born. Yeah, I think babies, kids, they're a complete blank space. What your parents teach you, your environment, how you are raised, all play a factor into the adult you come to be.
Well, yeah, but that no longer, I would argue that no longer has that much influence once you're past a certain awareness age.
True, sometimes. When you know right from wrong is when you'll decide, okay, I can do wrong to get to where I need to be, to get there faster, or I can take the long, harder road, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you take the easy road and be corrupt and be bad, which a lot do when they get a lot further in their, like, careers, jobs, anything. Look at the CEOs.
How frequently do you think people take the long way because it's the best way? Or at least...
Not that. I mean, they do, but we don't hear about them as quickly and as often.
Right.
Like, the people who take the easy route, like, we hear about them more because they're always in the tabloids, always in the media. Like, oh, look at Facebook. Look at the owner. His name is constantly surrounded by controversy.
Constantly in the media.
Yeah, like... But that's also, it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing, because now he's getting free press, free publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But the context of it is just trash.
It's, like, it's all over an issue that, would you feel that the issue that he's dealing with is a fair one to just fix and just be done with? As a CEO, if it was you, if it was me, I would have wanted to just do the right thing and be rid of it. Or would you... That's what I'm saying.
That's where it's hard, because...
That influence is where it comes to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
How corrupt do you become in that place when you know you have the power to make a difference in that sense? But if it's more beneficial to you to not, how likely would you be to? Mm-hmm. And this could be anybody that's put in that situation.
See, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know until I was able to be there. And even then, it depends on what the issue would be. Like, if it's something like, okay, really, really passionate about, maybe I might. Who knows? What's the risk? How, like, what's the percentage of me getting caught would be the percentage of, like, maybe I might do it. If it's something I'm really, really passionate about and it's quick and easy. To be honest, I don't know. Like... it's hard. You got to think there's certain issues that you're more passionate about, so you'd be more eager to have it by any means to, like, get it up and going.
Mm-hmm.
But also being in that, like, that seat of power, it's like all eyes are constantly on you.
This is all leading to a fascination of mine that's it's been around for a while with what an internal life is like, or what every individual's internal life is like post success. Because you hear about the come up, and you hear about the struggle, and you hear about the success stories, but you'll never really hear about them after the fact, that they're not already iconic in a sense, like you're saying, with people that are in the media will find that kind of controversy.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to find the ones that are not talked about, which is kind of hard. How do you find people who are not talked about?
That's why we're having a dialogue. Since we're on that track, we're on that path to achieve success in that aspect. Where our minds start off at may very well help where we could end up at later on, if that makes any sense.
True.
And I don't know how many people are actually speaking out loud about that that kind of honesty when they're dealing with the ups and the downs that come with the pre-success of things. And I would say it's because it's out of, like, maybe embarrassment or keeping a certain image, or
true,
not wanting to put business out there. But it's still
a conversation that should be heard.
It's highly necessary, because how else are you intending to build yourself up if not through dialogue with another equal-minded individual, especially if it's somebody that's in your team?
True. I don't know, I keep thinking, I don't know, I feel like it would really have to depend on where I'm at and what's not only the issue, the outside circumstances, like where I'm at in my life. Am I doing good, or am I on the verge of falling? Have I peaked? Have I plateaued?
Use yourself as an example then, in real time.
Real time, it's a daily struggle, because I'd be really wanting to go do some fucked up shit to go get some cash and be like, word, I got it. Word. We're good now. No. No, Taylor. You want to stay out of trouble.
Facts. This is tempting. I think that's the word I was looking for. Tempting. I was looking for tempting. See?
It's there. Comes it's out just of nowhere. Like, ah.
Temptation. The temptation of success.
It's like the study with, like, toddlers. Like, if you sit here and have this piece of cake in front of you for 5 minutes, and I'm going to leave you alone in the room, when you're done, you can have it. Like, I hate those stupid studies, because usually kids who wait always get something extra at the end. But the ones who get the instant gratification have to sit there and watch the other kids eat the extra stuff.
No lie, that sounds like capitalism.
So it's like, chill. Don't be bad. What comes with bad is court cases and the bad rep, and then no one's going to work with you. And then it's just like, yeah.
How frequently do you think people actually think about those types of consequences?
They don't.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I feel if they did,
there wouldn't be so many people doing some dumb shit.
But logic isn't so much the common thing anymore. Better yet,
common sense is not common.
So common. So you know what's funny is not everybody will immediately go to that kind of quote.
I love that, though, because I say it to my daughter all the time, like, you have no common sense. And I don't know how to teach you that, because it's common, like, I don't know.
You develop that over your own time, through your lessons and experiences.
Like, it just seems so simple to, like, I don't know, people think, I don't know how they think, because I couldn't think like that, so it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, to thrive and survive in the business we're jumping into, I was met with a real quote, not quote, but a real comment today in a video I was watching, one of my idols. And he says that the apparel business and the sneaker business that he's in are very, very competitive markets.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that note from this individual, because he's one of those top branded guys. He's just up there. So that note to me was something to really hold on to and really understand. And it fed me into my next thought process, which was, how do I separate myself from the pack? Because it's been some years that I've seen the market space in the industry that we're in, which is the street apparel, and well, just the apparel business in general, with the inclusion of everything else that we're doing, that we're going to overall encompass over time. But watching and being a consumer for so many years, everything really slowed or died down away. And if you're not a big name brand, what you do is cool, but it's only really like as big or as famous as you. And most of those guys are influencers or YouTubers or Instagrammers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We're not really much of those types. Mm-mm. We're more kind of real and tangible and relatable.
This is why face-to-face interactions is big, and finding like places to be able to get it out there. You have to get the word out there.
So separating myself from the pack, I thought about, I didn't come up with all the official solutions yet, but it's a thought that I have in mind right now that's kind of just circulating about, how do I separate myself from the group, from the pack? What makes what we do and what we're branding and representing different from everyone else's? As a result of hearing this advice from someone who's highly successful in that industry. So far, the authenticity of our stories, our struggles, and our journeys moving forward, hence the dialogue that we're having and the purpose as to why and the direction we want to take all this info in. I really feel that authenticity, I really feel that authenticity at the end of the day is really going to make the difference, but I don't think that that's going to be the full-on driver just yet. I don't think that's the...
The supporters, the word of mouth, getting it out there so people can actually take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And then it's being ahead of the trend is how... Stay ahead of the pack. It's how you separate yourself is... Being able to see, predict. That's why I was like, it's about to be springtime. How many people do you really know that wear dark colors in the springtime? That's more of a winter thing. Fall is more of like the oranges, the olive greens, and stuff like that. Spring and summer are bright. Like, spring is more like pastels, like the lighter. Summer is more of like the brighter. So then it goes into, okay, well, it's springtime. I have to do my usual run for shopping for my kid. So springtime, I usually go start getting her nice little t-shirts, her dresses and stuff like that. So I have to think like, okay, think ahead, think for the next season, which is what most of the big companies do. Like during fall, when they're releasing their stuff, they're already working on their winter line.
So we have a perspective from the consumer side of things. That's what you're basically saying.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to graft and chart that out to be able to be like, okay, what do you think the next big trend would be? And then how to get it out there.
Mm-hmm. How to become trendy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not just trying to produce products. What we're doing, in a sense, is trying to create a whole new line of things.
Mm-hmm.
A whole new lane for us, at least. So we're no longer like in competition with just clothing and styles and pretty things. We are, I feel in my view, we're legitimately going to be in competition with big name brands
that set paces and set trends. Original, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's different. Everybody else has the same.
Right.
It's just cheaper prices. And the more that you dig deeper, you'll find out who, like, the original person was, because that'd be, like, the highest price out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last person to come in usually will drop their prices the lowest. So you want to be the first person to be like, okay, cool. Jump ahead.
Yeah. Then I'm thinking in terms of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, what is it, aside from our personal selves that would set us apart in this market space. And I'd say, I'm thinking on it, the people themselves, how frequently, and this is just from my view, from struggling as an ambassador to a few companies myself some years back, how are we providing not just the products to the consumer, but what else are we doing to give back, basically?
I feel like that's a thought after, once you're a little established. Yeah. I get you're thinking in the future, but focus on the more present future. I feel like that's more like out of a year, you're going to want to keep a track of your books, your records, see how much in the red you are, because it's the first year of your business. You're going to be testing out different stuff. But the goal is to constantly be out of the red.
Right.
And then, once you're out of the red and you have a stable, like, everything, because we're going to have to switch out stuff a few times till we find the perfect one.
Mm-hmm.
So once you find your perfect everything and you feel like, okay, good, I have everything I need, then start thinking about, okay, how can we give back? Holding, like, fundraisers or even giving out shirts and stuff to the kids during like back to school time.
Nice idea.
Homeless time, giving out like shirts and gloves and hats and stuff to people, thinking like that.
And that is why it's highly important to have people who don't seem to have the same skill set as you. So in this particular situation, somebody who's your opposite is definitely an asset, but who's also your same mindset. I didn't think of those ideas just off rip. Those are brilliant. So it's another
thank you.
It's another major key. If you're not...
It was just a quick off the top of my head, but...
Yeah. If you're not surrounding yourself with peers who excel in their very own lanes, you're going to ultimately end up just yesing each other up about things, but never getting to any points.
Never have to worry about that. No.
That's what we don't want.
Ew. No. It's not fun. Like I said, I like to argue. I want to be able to stand my grounds and prove, like, yeah, this is why. And this is why it's why.